KBOO Portland.
This is your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get going with our programming, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kbu.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Again, that's kbu.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you.
Welcome to the Talking Earth. Patrick Bocard is with me in the room. We're doing it on a Wednesday in my stupid death room. I'm going to talk a little bit about birthday and death, but I think we're going to be with Joan Baez for a minute. Gracias a la vida. We'll sample a little more and then we'll get back to the Do you like Joan Baez, Patrick?
I like her.
And you told us our last program was Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, we recorded it on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, make a quick sound about it. It's all right. Cinco de Mayo. And today is when we play this will be,
which is the 14th.
10 p.m. next Monday, the 14th.
Well, the you're hearing us. It's after 10 p.m.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Listen, I used to say a birthday was an Earth Day. And my birthday was my Earth Day. I'm on planet Earth. That's where I'm located when I popped out of the womb. But the deal is, now I think of birthdays as my death day because I'm 1 year closer to the grave. So the 4th of July poet, me, Walt Curtis, will be 80 this July 4th. I never thought I'd reach 80. And we can talk a little more about the aging factor. I used to love fireworks, and Oaks Park had wonderful fireworks displays. They were on the river, and the Chinese, of course, are great with fireworks, pyrotechnics, and quite fabulous. Now you have to put your pets inside because a dog has 10 times. So this 4th of July, lock your pet in the room because they panic. The fireworks are like gunshots or explosions. And I've seen a couple dogs run away in absolute terror. What is that sound their 10 times better hearing ears say? And so now I hate to smoke, and I think of the Star-Spangled Banner, bombs bursting in air, tells us our flag was still there. Our flag, our rag. I don't like, well, what do you think about fireworks? The 4th of July is coming up.
I have never been a fan.
Go ahead, talk about that.
I was maybe a little bit of a fan growing up in Long Island, New York, but I lost being a fan pretty quickly. I mean, I also did dumb things like...
Tell me about the dumb fireworks thing.
I put a bottle rocket... I would put bottle rockets on their side so they go up the street, you know, like just...
Yeah, skitter along the street.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea. There's like... And there are people who throw M80s into the sewer.
Exactly.
Dynamite. That stuff's really dangerous.
And they used to have fireworks that were at like M80s are very powerful. They're like 1/8 stick of dynamite or something. And I know that people used to put kids used to put a powerful thing like that in a pipe. Like they were shooting a gun or something. America is so aggressive and violent and crazy. They blow their fingers off.
Yeah, no, there's plenty of people.
Did you see anybody their fingers blown off by fireworks?
No.
But anyway.
I didn't see anything like that. But I'm just not a fan.
I'm tired of the smoke, and I'm tired of the... It's kind of a joke display, but fireworks are still very militaristic, very... very, very, very violent. Because I was born on the 4th of July, I had to write Walt Curtis, poet Walt Curtis. I had to write the definitive fireworks poem, and I'm still half blind, getting a cataract operation. But let's try to read it together. And you've got it. So, 4th of July fireworks. And is okay.
That's the title.
Read it loud and clear and let it go boom, poof, off.
If you can make love against the black sky.
Like 4th of July fireworks. Okay, we're going to chime in.
There's a cyst. Wobbling upward. And soothing. Gasp of pleasure.
Pleasure.
As the orangish.
Bluish.
White. Fingers. Curl and expand with a poof. Reach out.
Touching and embracing.
Then there's a boom.
Boom.
If the making love is good, which you feel in your belly.
Like a bomb blast.
Forever. When you look at fireworks, remember this delicate.
Tracery.
Which lasts only for seconds.
Edges itself in eternity. Keep going.
The orgasmic acts of you and your lover.
Orgasmic acts of you and your lover go.
Sst.
Sst.
Ah.
Ah.
Poof.
Poof.
Boom.
Boom.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Body and soul thrill and dazzling freedom.
Body and soul, thrill and dazzling freedom.
Thunderous wonder.
Thunderous wonder.
As the night sky, flowers and gorgeous, falling fiery bursts.
A spark at a time.
Which darken, shimmering and metallic, a spark at a time. Just as our love fades.
Just as our love fades. Neuron by neuron. Neuron.
Startingly satisfied.
Satisfied.
We are recorded in the heavens.
We're recorded in the heavens.
By such humanly
manufactured displays. Love competes with the
stars.
Stars. So that was my 4th of July poem. Fireworks so you didn't really like fireworks. No.
I mean, I got over it about when I was 20 years old, you know.
Well, okay. Pause. Patrick, what have you been doing this week? Now, I want to bring up a couple of things.
Okay.
And we'll have a long thing there, but I was going to say we had the couple days of heat, and I cooked in the room and almost... I'll tell you a stupid thing. I dropped my clamshell Cricket phone on the sidewalk, and I was rushing to the... CD store. I'm trying to record a lot of these programs, and I thank you. And we last week was Cinco de Mayo, but you're a heck of an engineer. But the deal is, I'm trying to record my voice, and it's pretty strong right now. I think I can hear that it's strong. But the clamshell fell on the ground. I scooped it up. The back was off it, but I left the $39 battery on the sidewalk and ran in just in time at 6 p.m. way out on 151st to get some CDs that I had recorded for me. It's really called Video Services. He's too busy, don't go there. He doesn't need any more business. But the deal was, now the cell phone doesn't work. I mean, it wasn't really broken, it just didn't have a battery. And I went around to, I'll call it Floyd Center, where Cricket phone company was. They were shut down. AT&T was in there. And Floyd Center is a labyrinth, a maze. And since my eyesight is only at half right now, I'm going to get it fixed. I went in there and stumbled around. The only charm it has now is the skating rink. Have you ever been to Floyd Center where the skating... Yeah, the skating rink.
It's been a while.
But there really ain't nothing there. And then I went to the cell phone people, and AT&T guy was nice. You get the latest cell phone. You pay $500. It's deluxe, and it's supposed to be a deal. But I asked AT&T, and they said, "Well, nobody sells single batteries anymore, but there is a place called Battery Plus up on 30th and Northeast Broadway." And my sister would help me get a cell phone, you get a battery up there. They sell all these things. I only recommend them not as an advertisement, but simply to say that's the only place in town where you can get a single battery without the whole cell phone, without paying for the whole works. Now, I see you have a poem in your hand.
I do.
Well, what is this one about?
Well, first let me say that you asked what I did this week.
You tell me, me.
Yeah, I went to, the reading at Wildwood Saloon.
Oh, talk about the readings,
AKA the you know, Tony's Tavern. It used to be called Tony's Tavern, and now it's Wildwood Saloon.
So what was that like now?
It was kind of nice.
So what night is the reading happening? And
it's once a month on the first Monday. Well, it's twice a month. It's the first and third Mondays of the month.
What time? Hour?
Well, poet time, but it's supposedly online it was 9 o'clock, but they started around 8.
Okay, so...
I was very happy about that because I wanted to go home and...
No, we want open mics because the virus has shut everything down and we don't have...
Yeah, well, it's...
Well, let's repeat that slowly then, because this is a real, ongoing reading series.
It's the Last Stand.
And then do it softly again. Just say the Wildwood Saloon.
The Last Stand at Wildwood Saloon. If you go online, you go on Facebook or one of the social media, you'll probably find it. But it's on it's up on Burnside, where used to be Tony's Tavern, and it's the first and third Mondays of the month.
And you mean and it's Northwest Burnside?
Northwest Burnside, yes.
And it's only up at 20th or something, or
yeah, it's around there.
Well, okay, so folks, we have a real open mic, 8 or 9 p.m., Wildwood Saloon up Burnside there, and...
First and third Mondays.
First and third Mondays, and thank goodness some of the virus has been... people are starting to do things. There is a discussion that 70% of Oregonians are vaccinated. That Biden vaccinated...
I think it's 70% in the United States.
70% in the United States.
I don't know what the exact...
Well, I think even in Oregon, you know.
Okay.
And you've had both vaccinations.
Oh, yes. I am... So I have a mask on, but I no longer have my shield. I have retired the shield. I'm no longer... You can no longer see me walking around like I'm playing hockey. Even though the hockey playoffs are going on as we speak. I did read a poem at Wildwood Saloon. Do you want to hear it?
What's it about? I mean, what's the point? I mean, why did you write it? I mean,
it's about all the places that it's not really finished, but it's about the places that it's pretty evident once I start reading it.
Patrick Bocard, my engineer, and we're having a dialogue because no one can call in here now, and we're social distancing here, and we love KBOO, and yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
With energy, come on, with vitality.
The places that died. The places that died. They were all great places, and they died. The Greek Cuisina was a great place to smash some dishes while dancing. Renny Leonard looked around and saw fire hazards all the way down the stairs. Fined the owner so much he closed it down. The fire hazard's still there. Everyone else is gone. The places that died. The places that died. They were all great places and they died. Cameron's Books was Portland's oldest bookstore. Crystal bought it just before COVID struck. She tried to keep it going, but the TV news claimed the riots hurt her business. But they never mentioned the landlord trying to evict her 3 times. The 4th time was the charm. The places that died. The places that died. They were all great places, and they died. And that's where that stands right now. I need to keep writing stuff. I wanted to write one about montage.
Why did you become a poet, and why did you quit?
Why did I quit being a poet?
Yeah.
Well, what makes you say I quit being a poet?
Well, you used to read older poems here, but... Well, we had so many open mics, but I'm glad Wildwood Saloon is open.
And
we're going to pause, but I want to bring you into the dialogue here, but we're already 24 minutes. I'm going to sample a little bit of he's terribly vulgar, outrageous, and he claims he's the drunk, the great... Bukowski has been dead, but here, let's try it. Here we go. I'll turn it up.
The landlord gets very nervous when he plays with the plumbing.
I'm going to sample this.
Look, he said, the ants are chopping the spider's legs off one by one. Good strategy, I said. Let's go. We drove down to Norm's and had breakfast. My friend commented continually on humanity. He didn't think they were much. I didn't argue. My friend was a great admirer of Ernest Hemingway. I drove him to Hollywood and Normandy and let him out. When I got back, the shit was still in the tub. I didn't want to take a bath anyway.
This is a live reading, Charles Bukowski. I'm going to jump ahead. Here.
Life is if you really had an angle on it. I do it myself. I even admire my own
thing. No, we're not going there.
But
we're going here.
A fresh way to approach a dull or dangerous thing. To do a dull thing with style is preferable to doing a dangerous thing without it. To do a dangerous thing with style is what I call art. Bullfighting can be an art. Boxing can be an art. Loving can be an art. Opening a can of sardines can be an art. Not many have style. Not many can keep style. I have seen dogs with more style than men. Although not many dogs have style.
Cats I agree.
Have it with abundance. When Hemingway put his brains to the wall with a shotgun, that was style. Or sometimes people give you style. Joan of Arc had style. John the Baptist, Christ, Socrates, Caesar, Garcia Lorca. I've met men in jail with style. I've met more men in jail with style than men out of jail. Style is a difference, a way of doing, a way of being done. Six herons standing quietly in a pool of water. Are you walking out of the bathroom naked without seeing me?
Oh, Charles Bukowski, what do you think about him? I don't know. Every drunk I ever met, they love Charles Bukowski. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Every drunk loved Charles Bukowski. But now, what's coming up with Barbara?
I heard Lee Poe could drink him under the table, though.
Lee Poe was kissing the moon in the water and drowned.
Yeah.
In China, and he was a great poet. They changed the names. His name and now is Li Bai, and there was Tu Fu. No, they just changed the name, the language.
Tu Fu is,
I believe, Du Fu now.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you read the Chinese poets? They're great. I mean, I want people to get something. Find out who Li Po is. Find out who.
Li Bai is.
Who?
Li Bai, his new name.
Yeah, Li Bai. And we only have an hour, and we're going to keep rushing along here. This is an old Mexican record, and this possibly is still for Cinco de Mayo, and it's still for the women and children and the refugees, and Biden wants to send them back to their death states of Guatemala and other places. And refugees used to be honored and had to go before a judge, but they've been locked in concentration camps at the border. I'm not saying Biden did it, but he still has a policy to send them back. And that is for them a death sentence. And I'm going to do this ranchero music here for all the, I'm farther up Burnside and Downtown is still boarded up. Downtown is still looks like a war zone.
It's not as bad as you think.
Not as bad as it used to be, yes, but it's still... I run around on the bus still at night, but there's no good... Right. One of the questions that came up to my feeble brain, and I talked to the driver on the bus, okay, how long has the virus been going on? A year? 8 months or 9 months?
A year and a half.
A year and a half, okay. And they're still trying to blame the Chinese in Wuhan for letting it escape from the lab, but that's still debatable. But the deal is, what I'm trying to say is that the people now, as we hope the unemployment slows down and we got the pandemic, many of us got the pandemic checks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the rents have been forgiven for a time, or even the mortgages. But the deal is, I don't know if the recovery is really going to happen, you know, exactly. But what I asked the bus driver, and I will ask you right now, and I talked to a friend about it, is will the society, even if the economy comes back, actually the Democrats and Republicans are still in stalemate.
Yeah.
And talk about that for a second, the stalemate. In other words, Republicans don't want to give Biden had wanted a rebuilding fund, you know, but this, it's stalled.
And yeah, they don't want to actually pay up for the infrastructure the infrastructure stuff that actually.
Well, that's how Franklin Delano Roosevelt rebuilt the country putting people to work.
Well, the thing is that's the stuff that Trump claimed he was going to do for 4 years.
But he never did anything. But
no, we never had Infrastructure Week during that administration.
We're not going to go on. But what I want to say is, what are you? Now you work in a record store. We'll just say that.
Okay.
But most people have adjusted to working at home.
A lot of
so
people.
So I wonder if TriMet. I wonder if commuting will come back. There's nobody on the TriMet train. There's nobody on the buses, and I wonder if people will go to an office cubicle again. I asked the driver about it. I said, who's going to commute again when they've already worked out with their boss in the digital world to work at home? Does Melissa work at home?
My wife works at home. Yes, she has an
office
too.
Talk about it, yeah.
She has an office too, but she works remotely.
Now, most people are doing that now.
Not most people.
A lot of people.
A lot of people are. But like, and there's a lot more people doing it than before COVID. And a lot of white-collar jobs are doing that. That's true.
That's a white-collar job. So, yeah, you can't make a taco at home.
There's a lot of service jobs. Like, I could not do my job from home. I can't sell someone a CD from my place when all the CDs and everything is at Everyday Music. Or I'm not supposed to say where I work, but anyway.
It's all right. Who cares?
But yeah, the thing is that, there is a certain amount of that where people don't. But I still feel like there's plenty of people getting on the bus. It seems busier than it has been in a while.
Yeah, but I see the lower class or the party goers are on the bus.
Well, that's always been true.
And the homeless, etc.
But the well off people drove. A lot of the well off people weren't taking the bus anyway.
Well, I still think the society is half broke and half rich.
That's definitely true.
And the richy riches really don't care about the rest of us. They don't care about the homeless. And it's outrageous because I go around because I have to move out of my death room, in the death house, insane room. And I'm not going to go on too long with this. What was the question I was trying to phrase? Will people commute and go back to work, or will many of them just remain? They've worked out a deal with their boss or their corporation or whatever, and they work at home.
That's a large percentage of people.
What percentage would you say?
Of like the entire workforce?
Well, yeah, just make it quick. You know, we were running out of
maybe
time.
15 to 20%, which is a huge amount, actually, when you think about it.
It really is, and
maybe I don't know. I'm just making that number up.
The virus has changed,
but
economic life, and even in Europe and other places.
Well, think about this though: if you are working remotely, there's no reason for you to even be in the same city.
Exactly. You don't have to.
No, you could go move.
You can move to Puerto Vallarta.
You can move to Greater Idaho.
Yeah.
You know, the area that, you know, is trying to become part of Greater Idaho.
Idaho is neo-Nazi, but
not all of it. But like, because obviously they don't get along with each other, because that's what I keep seeing things online about how they're not getting along with each other.
I'm gonna play an old ranchero song with a beautiful woman, and this is Stover Cinco de Mayo.
But yeah, everything's gonna be different.
Nací con alma de acero, y aunque de veras te quiero, te dejo que te abandones, no más no llores. Alguien te canta, tú sabes que soy parejo, ya te lo dije una vez, si yo no te causo penas, no quiero que me las
That's a ranchero song, the old.
Me aconseja el corazón que te debo de olvidar, que me estás haciendo mal, más del que merezco.
What a set of lungs, huh?
Para sufrir y callar, pero ya no aguanto más esta vida que me das. En nombre de Dios, mi bien, te suplica mi pasión, ya no sigas humillando a quien por ti todo lo dio. No te importa mi sufrir. Tú que sabes del penal, ya sabrás lo que se siente cuando tres cachetadas te peguen, cuando en tres cachetadas te paguen lo que me haces yo llorar.
This program And when is Barbara's next program?
Barbara's program is next week.
Barbara Morticello, what will she do?
That is a mystery to me at the moment. I think she's been working on it for a while. She might already have finished it. She basically edits it herself. I might add that Dan Raphael's show was also edited by himself, too.
Oh, he edited the show.
He did. The only thing I do sometimes, like, both of them will send me, an audio file, and sometimes I'll clean it up a little bit, or I'll boost the volume at all. And I didn't even do that with his last show. He's actually they're both becoming better than me at doing that.
Oh, they're not better than you either.
Yeah, they're getting better than me at dealing with
audacity. let's talk about, we've been doing this program 5 or 6 months away from the studio at least. I don't know how long.
Like about at least a year.
A year? Wow.
No, it's been I'm pretty sure it's been over a year and a half.
So what do you think about this setup? I guess we're doing all right. I don't know. Some of our programs have been better than others.
Yeah, no, it's definitely... I like the one we did with Dusty that, you know...
On the porch, yeah.
On the porch. I think it's better when we have a guest, and it's really hard to have a guest like at this. It's
crammed in this...
Yeah, well, porch. Hopefully we'll return to the studio soon.
Well, when do you think that might happen at KBOO?
I don't know. I mean, everything else seems like it's opening up, so who knows?
Well, you know, I want to mention something extremely serious, because for many years here, I've been trying to... I did Mad Mobber's Notebook, and there's no Rose Festival. I did a collection called the Rose Festival Poem. It's not about me, poems. But what was interesting was having people being able to call in. You could have a guest from New Orleans or Texas or wherever they are. But the deal is, what is the deal? The deal is, it's a little odd. You're my guest, and I'm your guest, as Rumi would say. You're the guest, and I'm the guest. In this stuff, I'm gonna play. Is this Dylan Thomas? I want voices on here, but I wanna. We're gonna run out of time.
I said I was woken by a voice that was shouting to horses.
This
what
is
did I tell you?
Dylan Thomas.
You eat too much. Who ever heard of horses in a bedroom?
This is his grandfather.
He fumbled under his pillow, brought out a small tinkling bag, and carefully untied its strings. He put a sovereign in my hand and said, "Buy a cake."
Welsh, the Welsh poet, Dylan Thomas. Does the younger generation know this?
I heard his voice crying loudly and gaily, "Giddup!" and the rocking of the traveling bed. In the morning, I woke up from a dream of fiery horses on a plain that was littered with furniture and of large, cloudy men who rode 6 horses at a time and whipped them with burning bedclothes. Grandpa was at breakfast, dressed in deep black. After breakfast, he said, "There was a terrible, loud wind last night," and sat in his armchair by the hearth to make clay balls for the fire. On the last day but one of my visit, I was taken to Llansteffen in a governor's cart pulled by a short, weak pony. Grandpa might have been driving a bison, so tightly he held the reins, so ferociously cracked the long whip, so blasphemously shouted warnings to boys who played in the road, so stoutly stood with his gaitered legs apart and cursed the demon strength and willfulness of his tottering pony. When we came to Llansteffen village at the top of the hill, he left the cart by the Edwinsford Arms and patted the pony's muzzle and gave it sugar, saying, "You're a weak little pony, Jim, to pull big men like us." Grandpa paused at the churchyard and pointed over the iron gate at the angelic headstones and the poor wooden crosses. "There's no sense in lying there," he said. We journeyed back furiously. Jim was a bite. I woke late on my last morning. Grandpa was not at breakfast. He rose early. I walked in the fields with a new sling and shot at the towy gulls and the rooks in the parsonage trees. The morning passed without a bird falling. I returned for the midday meal through the parson's orchard, but Grandpa was not in the cottage. I went into the garden, but Grandpa was not staring at the fruit trees. I called across to a man who leant on a spade in the field beyond the garden hedge. Have you seen my Grandpa this morning? He did not stop digging and answered over his shoulder. I seen him in his fancy waistcoat. Griff the barber lived in the next cottage. I called to him through the open door. Mr. Griff, have you seen my Grandpa? The barber came out in his shirt sleeves. I said, he's wearing his best waistcoat. I did not know if it was important, but Grandpa wore his waistcoat only in the night. Has Grandpa been to Llanstefan? Asked Mr. Griff anxiously. We went there yesterday in a little tram, I said. He hurried indoors and I heard him talking in Welsh, and he came out again with his white coat on, and he carried a striped and colored walking stick.
So, what do you know about Dylan Thomas? Portrait of the Young Artist of the Dog, stories, what else do you know? I mean,
The refusal to mourn the death of a child by fire.
Yes, yes. And let's see, it was called The Christmas in Wales. That's the one you can find a lot. I want to ask you, when we talk to poets who are developing, and even poets who are older, and because I'm half sight, I'm half blind. I don't really care. I kind of find it interesting to mimic what it might be like to be a blind person, you know, in real life. I have half sight, but the deal is, one of the things I've consoled myself with is reciting poems. Do you memorize poems? Go ahead, talk about poetry. We're talking about the poetry program. Do you have a poem you memorized?
I've memorized poems in the past, but I mean, I have some of my own.
Oh, are they in your brain, though? I mean, the classic poems.
Right now?
Yes.
No, I don't think
you don't
so.
Do that, so.
I mean, I had to do that for a workshop, actually. I had to memorize a poem by James Wright.
I know James Wright. He's a great poet, and
because part of the thing was is we were not allowed to use a metered poem for this because it's easier to remember metered poems.
Well, that poetry started with beats and rhythms and all of that.
But the thing was is that it's part of the reason that it had beats and rhythms, or specific like.
And they used music also.
Repetitive rhythms. It's because then it is easier to remember the poem.
A 1,000-line epic poem, you've got to have end rhyme and all of that from that.
Yeah, well, they don't always have end rhyme. I mean, the Greeks didn't necessarily have end rhyme, but they had a meter. You have to, I mean, and generally, it's a good idea to have meter.
Well, okay, this is a mini lecture here. And I put Dylan Thomas on. That was the wrong cut, but it doesn't really matter. I'm going to do, and I felt like I might have died last week or so in the heat, and then I've had a terrible sinus allergy thing killing me, worse than my Johnson & Johnson one shot. I just feel a little drowsy with my experience with the vaccine. Did you get drowsy or did you not? I don't know.
I had a little queasiness in my stomach in the second shot.
Okay. Well, get the shot.
After the first couple days, and then it was gone.
But what I do is, now that I'm half blind and I don't read very well, I'm going to get it fixed. It'll all be fixed at OHSU, the KCI Institute. But what I'm going to do, I find certain pieces of poetry I have memorized, and I can other people's poetry, and I can recite them at the bus stop, or so I put Dylan Thomas on there because, and I'm going to close my eyes And I don't think I've done this on the program, but this, and death shall have no dominion. Dead men lying naked with, and one with the wind and the west moon. When their bones are picked clean and the clean bones gone, they shall have stars at elbow and foot. Though they go mad, they shall be sane. Though they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Though lovers be lost, love shall not, and death shall have no dominion. Under the windings of the sea, they lying long shall not die windily, twisting on racks when sinners give way, strapped to a wheel. They shall not break. Faith in their hands shall snap in two, and the unicorn evils run them through. Split all ends up, they shan't crack, and death shall have no dominion. No more may gulls cry at their ears, or waves break loud on the sea shores, where blue of flower may a flower no more lift its head to the blows of the rain, though they be mad and dead as nails. Heads of the characters hammer through daisies, break in the sun till the sun breaks down, and death shall have no dominion. Now, I find myself reciting these bits of, you know, when I'm trapped at a bus stop or something, and I want to do, I think I'll do a sonnet here, but I strongly recommend that you try doing that, you know, you and all the other amateur poets. Find a piece of poetry that you really like, and put it in your brain, and you can it's a memory exercise, but it's not just your own work. So you have memorized, you don't have it now though.
Well, I can probably read one of my poems. It's fairly short.
From your head.
Yeah, from my.
Do it. It's a lecture.
I fell in love with a lesbian waitress. Her hair shines darker than the black hole core of the Milky Way. Adagio eyes, turquoise jewelry befit her Germanic ski sloping nose.
A little slower. In
her self-effacing style entrances me as she waits tables at a cafe, read poetry on every Tuesday night. But her Doc Martens scuff the mottled floor. A battered woman's shelter bandana holds down her tombe coat hairdo. A loose t-shirt hangs off the side of her shoulder, an invitation when I might not be invited. I do not know whether she is or not. I have no clue what makes her eyes sparkle, her lips curl into a smile. I don't even know her name. All I know is the man in her brings out the man in me.
Well, that's a great line. You know, the man in her brings out the man in me.
Yeah, I stole that from my friend Rick J. I didn't write that line.
Oh, you didn't write that line, but
no, I got that given to me by a friend because I'd written the rest of it.
Well, you know, that was a pretty good job of memory, wasn't it?
Yeah, except I did.
Does that console you when you're alone without a book or something? You know?
No, because I'm sick of reading that poem.
Well, why don't you try a new memory poem? Okay.
Oh, I don't have. Eventually, yes, but not today.
Even snippets of, how close are we here? We're getting close.
I got a couple minutes.
Is that all?
Yeah, just a couple minutes. You have another one you have memorized of your own?
Oh, I'm going to, we only have a couple of minutes. Gaia is the Earth goddess, and I don't know, we ate this program up like we ate, we just ate it too fast, but here. Talk, Patrick, talk.
No, this one.
Go ahead, hit it.
Turn it up. I think it is going. Now you have it on pause. And it's blinking its paws. Now it's playing. There you go.
Here we go. Well, maybe we'll have to go out with this gypsy thing, but...
That'd be kind of nice.
Oh, God, this has been
a... Is that you?
Yeah, I play the, you know, could, yeah. We want some juice on these programs. It's a discussion of Duende. The Earth. Make sure this gets on your edit.
You'll be listening to Talking Earth.
Yeah. And we're not done. We got five more minutes.
KBO Portland.
We cut off earlier. I want to talk about Duende, the deep song. Garcia Lorca, Granada. The guitar player, the gypsies. Duende is a word for... You feel the earth come up through your body. Here, we'll do
it's
a little bit.
The Gitanos, the gypsies of Spain. Olé, olé.
That's what castanets sound like if they're too close to the microphone. Ay, que la chingada! Use 5 minutes of this. Manitas de plata. Little fingers of silver.
Back again, it's October 15th. The gypsy singers felt the soul of the earth rise from their feet into their body. Lorca will talk about this in a number of places, but he seeking the Duende, he has a number of deep song, he has a number of lectures discussing Andalusia, flamenco, the deepest, most moving songs of our mysterious, maligned, debauched and dirty people should want to tie to the orgiastic guitar.
Orgiastic guitar.
The thread that connects us to the impenetrable Orient, the East. Dash the dark wind of the professional pimp. Now, this is part of a lecture that he wrote, and
Federico Garcia Lorca.
I really want to go a little farther here about deep song. El Duende is imbued with a mysterious color of primordial life. Primitive Indian from India, musical systems a stammer, a wavering emission of the voice. A marvelous tempered deep song is akin to bird song. And I could go on here, but I think El Duende, the melody of deep song, this is gypsy music, Manuel de Falla, Back to Granada, etc. The creation of these songs, soul of our Andalusian Spanish soul. And I'm going to quit there. I'm going to read, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do an earth song. Earth song.
No, we don't have much time, but I want this on the... Here. And we'll end with this and this stuff. We'll cut something else out, you know, if we have.
Sunny afternoon, October 15, Monday, so. So this is a Lorca poem. I've translated many Lorca poems, many Pablo Neruda poems, but canción de la jinete, rider's song, Cordova, Leona y Sola, far away alone, Haka Negra, black pony, grand big moon, olives in my saddle bag. Although I know the roads,
I will never get to go Cordova. Death is looking at me.
I will never arrive at Cordova. Across the plain, through wind, black pony, I will never arrive at Cordova.
You can end it right there. Put this in the goddamn middle of it or something.
Death, La Muerte, watches me. Desde las Torres, from the towers of Cordova.
Thank you. If you're a lover of all kinds of music and how it makes you feel, please tune into Passing Sound. Every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM or KBOO.FM. Where we analyze elements in music to create an eclectic playlist for the listener to enjoy.
Hey there, it's me, Karen23, doing another substitute show for Subhuman Intellect Theater. Tonight I am talking about the work of stage and screen composers Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. I'm looking at some of the work they've done separately and their joint efforts. So we are going to start with Avenue Q. And it started out as a Muppet version of Hamlet, Henson Associates past, because it's not really a family story. He went off